This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Amma ba'd. I want to talk about something. I want to start off with a story, a real life story that happened. It happened to my wife here. She went to a doctor recently, mashallah, in London. A lot of the doctors are Muslims. And this lady was also a Muslim doctor. And my wife is conversing with her. She was, for some health reasons, is not fasting, my wife. So this is talking about Ramadan. And this lady, who doesn't have the exemption of not fasting, says to my wife that, I used to fast in Ramadan, but now it's too difficult for me. I don't do it anymore. And this was something that, if you are in a certain, if you are in the masjid bubble, if I like to call that, you come to the masjid for the salawat, this is like your second home. Perhaps you don't realize that this is a reality of people. People who are well-intentioned Muslims, good people, good hearts. But this is just the reality that they have found themselves to be in. And I like to speak about this. How is it that this difficult undertaking that we are in the middle of, how can we go about it? And I have some suggestions, inshallah. And this is a difficult topic. It wasn't easy for me when I was preparing this khutbah. I had to think a lot about the words I had to use here. But it's a difficult topic, but it's a pressing topic. Because fasting in Ramadan is not like fasting outside of Ramadan. It is a very special act. And we'll get to that. The situation we find ourselves in is that the struggle that we have here is a real struggle, and we acknowledge that. It's not, you know, we are used to a certain lifestyle. We have a routine at work. There's a time for lunch break. There's a time for coffee break. There's recess at school. All those times are built in for the only purpose of eating and drinking. And we're used to that for 11 months. And then just immediately overnight, literally overnight, we go from that to a completely different lifestyle. That's a challenge. That's a challenge, and we acknowledge that, and we ask Allah to make our challenge easy for us. We go from fasting, or we go from not fasting at all, most of us don't fast outside of Ramadan, to fasting every single day of the month. We go from attending the mosque on occasion to attending the mosque every single night in Ramadan. This is like what we call colloquially, like going from 0 to 100 real quick. This is what that looks like. And this, I'm not shy to say, is a difficult burden for many of us. It is a difficult burden for many of us, particularly in the summer, particularly with the weather being hot, the fast being long. So I have some recommendations to ease this burden of fasting, inshallah. First and foremost, we understand the gravity of the situation. To be able to evaluate a situation completely, you have to understand the gravity of it fully, in its totality. We understand the gravity of the fast of Ramadan, that this is a pillar of the pillars of Islam. Buni al-Islamu ala khams, like the Prophet ﷺ told us, Islam is built upon five main acts of worship. And these are called the five pillars of Islam. Arkan, in fact. And why is it called a pillar? A pillar, if you think structurally, is the load-bearing wall. You remove a pillar and the roof will collapse. The building will not cease, the building will cease to exist if you remove a pillar. This is the gravity of the situation in Ramadan. The fast of Ramadan is a pillar. If a person is to compromise that, you are essentially compromising the Muslim identity. That's what it is. It's a very big deal. We understand the gravity of it is that this is a month that was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically for this undertaking. And His choice adds to the gravity of the matter. It's a pillar. Allah chose this month. So we have to understand this is no small matter. This is not just any other act of worship. This is a really, really big deal. Number two, we need to prioritize the obligations. the obligations, what's called the wajibat, the things that are mandatory in Islam, we have to prioritize them over the sunnahs, what's mustahab, what is nawafil, stuff that is voluntary and recommended. You see, we are encouraged to do as much as possible, to worship Allah to the best of our ability. The ayah I recited in the beginning of the khutbah that most khatibs recite, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih. Okay, O you who believe, be conscious of Allah, have taqwa as is His right. Like, do your best, strive your best to have taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in other parts of the Quran, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, race towards good. It's like a race. If I see my brother doing something, if I see him praying, if I see him reading extra Quran, like a race, like a competition, I should get spurred on and be inspired to do more. That's actually how, you know, that's the mindset Islam wants us to have. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. The afterlife, the pleasures of afterlife, the eternity of the pleasures of paradise, that is what people should strive for. That's what Allah says in Surah Mutaffifin, for example. So this is the mindset that we're supposed to have in general. Okay? And what I'm going to say does not negate that. But there is there's levels of obligations and there is levels of actions. At the very top of level number one, priority number one is the obligation, the fard, and those are the five pillars of Islam. And nothing should compromise that. Okay? So for example, we have in Ramadan the night prayer Taraweeh. And we have a Taraweeh for quite a long time, over an hour and a bit. And other places, sometimes it goes to 2 hours. Okay? We have all these other beautiful actions that are sunnah prayers, that are voluntary acts of worship. You look at the most bare bones version of Islam, it is the five daily prayers. And five daily prayers are 2 rak'ahs of Fajr, 4 rak'ahs of Dhuhr, 4 rak'ahs of Asr, 3 of Maghrib, and 4 of Isha. That's the bare bones version of Islam, of Salah. And then there is fasting in Ramadan. And there is the obligatory charity once, no other donation is required. And there is Hajj once a lifetime. That is the bare bones, absolute minimum requirement. That a Bedouin came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him this question. He said that, O Messenger of Allah, what is it? After confirming that the Prophet is a messenger, he accepted Islam. And he asked him, what am I supposed to do? The Prophet said, you have to pray 5 times a day. He's like, is there hal aliyya ghayruha? Am I supposed to do more? The Prophet said, no, illa anta tatawwa. Unless you choose to. Then he asked about the fast of Ramadan. Or he asked about the next thing, the Prophet said, fasting. Same response. Illa anta tatawwa. That's all you have to do unless there is the capacity to do more. Likewise for zakat. Likewise for hajj. All of those things. Then he said to the Prophet, this man, he said, La azidu ala hadha wala anqus. I am not going to add anything to this and I'm not going to subtract anything from this. That's all I'm going to do. And the Prophet said, Dakhal al Jannah in sadaq. This man is going to enter paradise if he is telling the truth. Like if he keeps up the commitment of the bare minimum of the requirements, completes the obligations, this man is entering paradise. That's what the Prophet said. So he set the baseline for us here. The obligations are to be prioritized. Whenever this man asked the Prophet said, "Illa anta tatawwa." If you want to do more, go ahead. Your choice, your prerogative. But the requirement is the obligations. So we prioritize that. What does that look like? If you find it difficult to pray at night, it compromises your sleep, for example. Okay? You don't have to pray the Taraweeh prayer. You don't have to. It's like, if we love to have you, alhamdulillah. But you don't have to. Especially if that affects the fast. If a person is able to pray Isha early, go to sleep early, wake up for suhoor, and that helps them during the day. That is a higher priority than them staying in the masjid late, praying a optional prayer, and then compromising their fast, giving way to doubts such as, this is too hard for me, I can't do this long term. This is what I'm trying to get at. Again, the mindset Allah wants us to have is, do as much as you can to the best of your ability. That's what the Prophet ﷺ lived this every single day of his life, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't have to tell him again and again to do good deeds. He had to tell him once, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil qumi layla illa qalila. Oh, you who is wrapped up in a cloak, stand up and pray at night. Once Allah had to tell him, and then for the rest of his life, he would pray the Tahajjud. Just once. So the Prophet was, he represented excellence. He represented what it means to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best possible way. However, that is like the best case scenario. That's what we aspire to. Now we come to what do we need to do? What is it that we're basically required to do? And this is what it is to prioritize the obligations, particularly for the one. Particularly for the person who is having difficulty fulfilling the obligations. So that is point number two. You understand the gravity of the situation? This is no small feat. Number one. Number two, prioritize. Everything has to revolve around the five pillars, and particularly the pillars of prayer and the pillars of fasting right now in Ramadan. أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. بسم الله الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن ولا أما بعد. The difficulty of fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us He has not made this as a means to burden us. ما يريد الله ليجعل عليكم من حرج. The intent isn't to make our lives miserable. However, the reality also is that it is a difficult task. It's not an easy task, particularly for those of us who are have a routine of work and have to spend many hours during normal times when they're eating and drinking, now all of a sudden not eating and not drinking. So it is a difficult situation, and here are some suggestions to be able to manage that. Point number three is make it easy on yourself and your body. Okay, so there's many great athletes that we've had who are fasting and they play. You know, we might know Hakeem Olajuwon, the great basketball legend, would fast and play, and his stats were better while he was fasting. But he is definitely the exception, right? He is one of the greats. This isn't for the person. This isn't for the person who's struggling and questioning whether they can fast or not. This person, somebody who asked me, I have a race at school, can I break my fast for the race? Again, goes back to the question, or the second point, prioritizing obligations. That fast of Ramadan means way more and is way more important than anything else. If you are able to, physically, you're strong enough, mentally, you're strong enough to be able to fast and do these activities that are physical, alhamdulillah, more power to you. But if you're not, then the priority is on what? The fasting. Making it easy upon ourselves so that it doesn't lead to the situation of the lady, the story that I began with, who just stopped fasting because it was just too much, too many things were being asked. We reduce and we take it as easy as we can, and we break the religion down to its absolute core. Okay. Another thing to make it easy on ourselves is to take naps. Now this may not be possible considering your situation at work, but if you are in a situation where you have an hour of lunch and you're able to create a situation where you can take that hour lunch and just have some time to yourself to shut your eyes for a few minutes, that is highly recommended. You know, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about naps in multiple occasions and always in a positive light. Always. Okay? Napping, by the way, is not like sleeping for 5 hours after Dhuhr. It's to refresh you. He says about the Sahaba, okay, the Sahaba who were stressed out before the battle of Badr. He says about them, إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِيُطَهِّرَكُم بِهِ. The Sahaba in the battle of Badr happened to encounter impossible odds. What were the odds? Not just 1,000 versus 300, but the cavalry of Quraysh, the cavalry of the people of Mecca, was 100 horses. Cavalry today is like tanks. The Sahaba had 2 horses. That's not a battle, that's death. Those were the odds the Sahaba were going up against. And they didn't come with the mindset of, we're coming to fast. They came with the mindset of, we're coming to stop and intercept this caravan. All of a sudden to meet a fully equipped, well-prepared army. Okay, this was one of the most difficult nights that the Sahaba faced, because the possibility of being wiped out was very real. The Prophet ﷺ would pray so much that he would say, oh Allah, if you let these people die today, the Sahaba, you won't be worshipped afterwards on the earth. To the point where Abu Bakr Siddiq had to stop the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, "Da' munashadataka rabbaka ya Rasulullah." He said, enough, O Messenger of Allah, you've made enough dua. To show you how stressed they were. That's the situation. What did Allah do to them to relieve their stress, to make it easy for them, to give them the freshness of mind they needed and the clarity to encounter this very difficult situation? إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in a very restful sleep that helped them get ready for that day and get ready for that battle. So it is something, and anybody who's taken a nice nap would know about this. It is a beautiful way to refresh. This is Allah's mercy upon us. Try to build this into the routine in Ramadan. Think of it as a replacement for coffee. Think of it as a replacement for the caffeine that we miss out on during the day, that we build in a nap somewhere, again, considering the circumstances for every person. Point number 4. One was to understand the situation, that how important it is. Number 2, to prioritize it over everything else. Number 3, to reduce extra things. Build in ways to make it easy on ourselves. Number 4 is to accept and acknowledge that this is a difficult task. There's nothing wrong with that, to acknowledging something is hard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to Bani Israel and he says about the difficult trial they were going through with Fir'aun. He says, وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. In your trial that you had with Fir'aun, in the oppression you were facing from Fir'aun, that was a great trial. The difficulty was great. Acknowledging and understanding that yes, we are in a tough situation is part of making it easy so we can proceed to fulfilling that task. Okay? So we acknowledge this is not the easiest thing. Sayyidina Ali was asked once, what do you love to do? He said, I love fasting in the summer. Of course, like optional fasts. So people said, why do you love to fast in the summer? He said, because it's difficult. And there is more reward. Now, of course, he is at a high level. He's aiming for excellence. The point is, we understand that when there's difficulty, we acknowledge it. Here is the interesting part. The harder the action is, the more reward it carries. The harder something is in Islam, the more reward it carries for the person who performs that action. If a person lives next door to the masjid, is that easy for them to come to the mosque, or is it harder? It's way easier. Okay? Their reward is proportional to how many steps they take or how much travel they have to make to come to the mosque. If someone lives further away, that's harder. They have more reward. This is the principle in the Sharia, that the more difficult something is, the more reward you get. It's proportionate to the difficulty you encounter. So this fast, or these very tough fasts, are difficult, but we understand the reward of it is way greater. It's way greater than somebody who is fasting in a Muslim country where business shuts down after Fajr and people wake up at Asr or something. Okay, it's way greater than somebody who is fasting in a country where the fasts are 12 hours or 13 hours. They're essentially skipping lunch. We are fasting in tough times, and we understand and we need to know that the reward is much greater for that. And there's no shame in that. In fact, this is encouraged. The Prophet ﷺ once started to tear up. The Sahaba asked him, "Why are you crying, Ya Rasulullah?" He said, "Awaddu luqiyya ikhwan." He said, "I'd like to meet my brothers." The Sahaba said, "Awalasna ikhwanaka ya Rasulullah, aren't we your brothers, O Messenger of Allah?" The Prophet ﷺ said that, "Bal antum ashabi, you are my disciples, you are my companions. My brothers are the ones who will come after me and believe in me without having seen me. They will believe in me without having seen me." He was talking about us. And he says, "Lil'amili minhum ajru khamsina minkum." لِلْعَامِلِ مِنْهُمْ أَجْرُ خَمْسِينَ مِنْكُمْ. The person of those people who comes afterwards, didn't see me but accepted Islam and practices Islam, the one who is devoted to their faith, does the actions the faith requires them to do? That person has the reward of 50 of you. 50 of the Sahaba. Why? إِنَّكُمْ تَجِدُونَ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ أَعْوَانًا وَلَا يَجِدُونَ. It's not like the person is better than 50 Sahaba. The reward is like the reward of 50 Sahaba. And what is the reason for that? Because you find many people to help you to do good deeds. Many people to inspire you to do good. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ. They won't find anybody. They'll be on their own. You have Abu Bakr as-Siddiq with you, who is always the first to do good deeds, who is doing so much good that anybody will just get inspired and move to action. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ. But they don't have anybody. They're by themselves. So the difficulty is so much harder, and that's why the reward for them is so much greater. This is our situation, brothers and sisters. We ask Allah to make us of this 50 times, like the 50 Sahaba reward for us. We ask Allah to sincerely give us that, because we are going through a difficult time, fasting in these difficult days of the year, while others around us are not. While others are not, majority of the people are going about their routine as normal. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ. We don't find helpers. We don't find them. So we ask Allah to give us this reward of 50 Sahaba. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. In conclusion, this month is the month of miracles, Ramadan. This is the month the Quran was revealed. This is the month where the battle of Badr took place, and it was a victory. And this was a miraculous victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the month where the conquest of Makkah happened, which was also a great sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our transformation as a community across the world is miraculous. You can see those beautiful articles that show pictures of Muslims practicing their faith across the world. And in Ramadan, every single place in the world where Muslims live, it is a completely different situation, completely different setting than outside of Ramadan. The amount of activity, the amount of people that come together, the amount of good that happens together, overnight, May 4th, nothing is happening. May 5th, everything is happening. Just when Ramadan begins. That itself is a great miracle that Allah shows us, and this is across the world. This is a month of miracles, we believe in that. This is a month of blessings, we believe in that. This is a month of forgiveness, and we ask Allah for the forgiveness in this month. But we understand that the difficulty that we face in this month is a part and parcel of making us rise up to practice the faith as it's supposed to be practiced. Again, we understand the gravity of the fast, we prioritize it over everything else, we make it easy for ourselves as much as we can, and lastly, we ask Allah for help, and we ask Allah to give us the reward for the proportionate difficulty that we're facing, to help us get through this. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ فِي الْأَوَّلِينَ وَصَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ وَصَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ